everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick and Rob, your hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics, old and new, talking what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU, DCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. Now, Rob, we have a pretty interesting week this week. It's like weird news coming all around. It's a well-rounded episode, I think it'll be, with some gaming talk. We have Marvel solicits, X-Men 97 dropped, and I have some weird fun things to talk about that I can't wait to see your reaction on. So it's going to be a fun one. I know it.
Okay, fantastic. X-Men 97, yes. What a TV show. I was hooked. I got goosebumps from the opening intro. It's well-written. It was fantastic. I cannot fault it. The voice acting was incredible. I was glued to it.
Yeah, I loved it. Actually, one of the talking points I had was, I really wanted your professional opinion on this. What are your thoughts on Wolverine's voice acting? Because for some reason, I don't know, I think I got used to it through the two episodes that I watched, but I didn't love his voice from the start and from the trailers that I saw. I don't know. Give it a plus? Like, I mean, it's all opinion based, of course, but I just, like, for some reason, that wasn't how I hear Wolverine in my little head.
Well, see, you have to look at it this way, is that age as well, like age changes a voice, even if you go
so
back.
So was it the same actor for Wolverine?
It's the same actor pretty much for all of them.
I didn't know that. I thought it was different all around.
No, but you have to look at, too, is it the different iterations of Wolverine in the meantime. You had Steve Blum doing Wolverine in X-Men Evolution. Like, there's been so many versions of Wolverine that have come in that time. And, like, you're a little too young to have been watching X-Men when it came out.
Yes.
You know, that kind of way. So I would just say it's a case of, you've been hearing different, like, I mean, Mark Hamill was Wolverine in a video game. You know, there's been so, and then don't forget that, what's his name? Oh my God, what's his name? Hugh Jackman has been Wolverine for 20 years.
So that's, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think I just have so many Wolverines floating around, like voices in my mind, including, of course, the one that I read comics in. So I think, honestly, that sounds right. I think that's correct. I don't know. Just a little thing I had. I was like, I don't know where this sits with me. But talking about everything else about the show, I liked the first episode, loved the second. Okay. Yeah. The first one, I was like, this was good. The second, I was like, loving it. I was like, this is it.
I think what they were doing with the first one is kind of along the lines of The Force Awakens, where it was almost the same story as that first episode with Jubilee, but they were adding more into it. And I don't want to talk spoilers because it's too soon. You know, like, let people watch it.
I get it. Yeah.
I'm very excited from that cliffhanger at the end of
that. Me too.
Now, again, we're burdened with the knowledge, but that was not a twist I was expecting. And if it goes that route, what it could potentially lead into, because they have two more seasons planned.
Right.
I think. Yeah. So,
Yeah, we know that much. We know that much. I do. This isn't like a, I'm going to say it because I feel like I'm teetering the line of, like, is it a spoiler? Is it not? I'm just going to say it. I was really surprised in the second episode to see the Executioner from X-Men Gold by Mark Guggenheim.
He's not from X-Men Gold, now, Nick.
Okay.
The Executioner debuted in the 1993 annuals, where they were, you know, creating all these ones that would be bigger than Squirrel Girl. And he is only, there was, I think, 29 of them. And I'm pretty sure there's only 3 to 4 that ever appeared again. But the Executioner does, yes, he's more like a mantle character.
Okay, thank you for educating me. Okay.
You young whippersnappers.
You just pulled that out of your knowledge. That was actually kind of crazy to watch. I thought that was kind of cool. I really liked the first two episodes. And look, again, not a major spoiler. There's something about when the X-Men fight Sentinels. It's one of my favorite, like, dare I go as far as to say, when the X-Men fight Sentinels in the show or in the comics, it's one of my favorite things as a comic book fan for some reason, I just love it so much.
Well, it's like it's that's their bad guy. Like, yes, you yeah, have like Maggie, but the old like Sentinels were created to fight the X-Men.
Yes.
And just whoever decided on the halt mutant, like that
oh,
just
I know. Like, yes. I know.
When and then it makes it so much more special when the Sentinels kind of fight other heroes. Like look at Onslaught. You had the Green Goblin fighting Sentinels. And you should like it kind of that fight, because yep. that was basically the end of Phil Urich as Green Goblin, because it took his whole arsenal to bring down one. And he's like, well, I've no more technology now. Guess I'm not the Green Goblin. You had Spider-Man, the two, you know, Peter and Ben trying to take one down. And
yeah.
even in Kang Dynasty, the government was like, oh, we're going to use Sentinels to take down Kang. And Kang
right,
like,
right,
nope,
right.
I'm just going to turn these bad boys around. And yeah,
I remember that.
Sentinels are X-Men's bad guys. You know, Sabretooth will show up, Mojo will show up, but the Sentinels are designed to fight the X-Men.
Yes, and there's something about how they collaboratively take them down, too. It's fun. Yeah. Like, they all kind of, like, use their power.
Yeah, they got to realize, and then it's fun to see the like, Sentinels adapting to that, that you can't take them down the same way the next time. Oh, my God! Sorry, speaking of adapting, I just want to jump into something real quick.
Did
you read Web of Spider-Man from this week, the kind of, like, teaser for the plans of Spider-Man for the year?
I didn't.
Lads.
Is it?
I loved it, and I actually went, yes!
Wait, really?
A character, do you remember Freak from Brand New Day? The guy who injected the stem cells and can't die
I know
the same
Freak.
Way again?
He's basically Doomsday.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he's, you know, he's a junkie, so he's kind of limited by, like, he's not, you know, that's what he's... And then in New Ways to Die, Osborn used him, but his body, because his body recovers the... you know, recovers from the problem, it removed like the gland that gives pleasure, so he could never get high again. But he's been gone for like ages. The last time I think we saw him was he was a background character in Absolute Carnage Deadpool, but he's there when Kane sees him in the sewers. I was like, yes,
that's I could see Zeb Wells writing him well for some reason.
Well, I don't think
why
it's like, Steve Fox. It's Steve Fox who's going to be using them.
Oh, so he'll be in Spider-Woman. He'll be in Spider-Woman then.
Probably. I think Spider-Woman might lead over to Kane because it kind of was put. But I thought it was a fun issue. It gave you tidbits, like it was tidbits.
Yeah.
There was a little thing of Blood Hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Post gang war. I loved it. I absolutely
were they all canon?
All canon. There were some little things that I'm like, you need to do research there, buddy boy. But
okay. No, that's fine. We'll take it. I'm really glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it because I texted you about this the other day. I really loved the last issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh,
I really liked it.
It was so good. And
it was good
because of its subtlety, like him walking around Ravencroft it is Ravencroft, but it's funny, Ravencroft, they've kind of put it to the back burner now, because remember for a while they were trying to make Ravencroft Marvel's Arkham and like tying it to the crazy ancestors of Carnage and Null and all that. You're like, Marvel doesn't need an Arkham. Arkham is completely a DC thing. Leave it alone.
I kind of agree with you there.
Remember that series? Remember that arc, the Ravencroft series, that five-issue one with, like, the vampire blob that was
It has, I think there's two volumes of it, both by Frank Thierry. And
three one-shots, three or four one-shots. They were great.
Yeah, I really liked those. Those were really fun. So that's, I'm going to read that and I will give you my thoughts. But I can't wait. Going back to X-Men 97, because I love when that happens in episodes. I love when we get off track like that. It's the funnest part. One thing I do want to say, like, dude, I kind of like, and this is something that Chris Claremont said, and I felt it in X-Men 97. He said, I don't give a crap what people say. Chris Claremont said this years ago in an interview. He's like, I don't give a crap what people say. You read the X-Men because it's a drama book. And he's right. And to be honest, I'm going to come right out and say it. Like, I honestly read comics probably number two, maybe dare I say tied for number one reason is because the drama. Because when you get to know the characters, you start to become invested in their life, which is drama.
That was Stan Lee's like blueprint back in the day. Make it a soap opera.
It's a soap opera, dude.
Love, there's twists. Yeah. People come back from the dead. There's long lost relatives. You know, And I think because I know I've been harping on about this, but I am working like the Contest of Champions video I'm putting together. Reading the first event series from like 1983, where it's almost like it's a simpler time.
Completely.
You know, heroes don't know each other. They're like, hey, aren't you? Yeah, I am. But now it's like it's a given that just everybody, there's been so much shit they've had to assemble against.
So much stuff, right? Right.
They all know each other.
But that's like the fun of it. And I think like when readers, because most readers are like, yeah, I see this guy on TV or I like action. Like I want to read comic, like for this reason. Eventually, I think literally 100% of people that read comics read it for kind of the soap opera. Anyway, back to my point on this. X-Men 97, especially that second episode, geez. Mm. There's like one or two things. Like Gambit, my boy, my heart goes out to you.
Oof.
Lot of drama that goes on in that second episode, which I really liked.
It was like, this is the thing. And I will say, as much as I said the nostalgia thing, now that like X-Men 97, it's kind of like the Toy Story movies. It's for the original fan base. When you saw the first Toy Story in 97, you were that 3 or 4 years older seeing the next one. And then the next one. So you grew with it and with the characters and the story. So they were able to kind of put the things of like moving on and moving past things that you love and letting things go. And X-Men 97 is not for 4 or 5 year olds. It's for that first clan of people who were kids when that first thing was out. So you're able to go the more mature way with the storytelling. Yes.
So I'm glad you pivoted to that at the end, because I wasn't going to challenge you, but I was just going to purely state like, it feels modern.
Second
episode, I really have to ask you, again, not a huge spoiler, but when they're storming, you know, those protesters are storming like the Capitol building, did that not remind you of like events a few years ago with the storming of the Capitol? Yeah, and they even put them in like kind of weird like apparel.
Yeah, they did. But it's kind of like, you look at, the sad thing is that, you know, racism and bigotry is just, it's everywhere.
It's so prevalent.
Even when you read like Fall of X, you know, on the House of X, the Orcus are basically like the most extremist right wing thing ever. Like Earth for humans. No, Mars is ours. Oh, you what medicine? No, that's, you know, we didn't approve that. What are you putting in people's
bodies? And the most interesting part about it too is that they even go one step further. And like now, if you're reading the current X-Men comics, it's not even like anti-mutant; it's anti-human too.
Yeah,
because the AI and machines.
It's
kind of neat. They flip the script.
I think that's why it's so, why characters like Orcus just really fucking get to me. Because like, one level above or a few levels above what's going on in
society.
They're
the worst of the worst.
Of the worst, you know? And it's like, if you use, you know, all your resources and your talents and your intelligence for something worthwhile, what way would the world be? But what you're using it to attack what you don't understand or something. But anyway, I think we're going off here.
I love it. I'm actually going to talk about the June solicits, which I think were actually, I mean, for what I considered, I actually kind of liked them. I thought they were fine. In my opinion, April, May, and June, maybe July, probably July as well. That's probably the four biggest months for comics, because that's event season. Mm-hmm. That's when like Marvel the really pops off. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Exactly. Like, and I, you know, so I thought that they were very good. Did anything particular stand out to you?
What did stand out, get this out of the way first, was the fact that the one-shots, the X-Men one-shots, and yeah. the price of Wolverine Blood Hunt 1 had dropped to $3.99.
So,
and
yes.
it seems to be now that the $4.99 is four books that are 40 pages. The 32-page ones are $3.99. So Marvel right. do seem to be committing to the promise of that.
Which now, is good.
Are, fantastic. Now, there are certain flagship books that are going to stay at the $4.99. Like Amazing Spider-Man, and which I kind of think is it because of the artist involved that it's going to $4.99.
Yeah, you and I have brainstormed this before. I really don't know the method of the madness here. I think they just know that fans are willing to pay that much for the book. I think Spider-Man. That might be it. Yeah, because it's Spider-Man. But I'm on your boat, dude. I'm just really glad that like Thor isn't $4.99. Like, what? There were so many books that were $4.99.
It was every comic was going to $5.
And, oh, dude.
I mean, in regards to announcement-wise, the Infinity Watch one with Thanos, I'm yeah. so excited because I've said it so, before.
Dude.
Thanos is watered down. But after reading the last part, the last issue of Christopher Cantwell's Thanos, because I was kind of like, oh, they're all fucking quippy and it's all smart asses. But the
yeah.
end of that, I'm like, okay. And then you yes. see now... I'm going after the stone bearers. And we finally get that fifth stone.
Dude, thank God, because is it just me or for the past, gotta be 6-7 years now, they didn't know what to do with the stone bearers.
No, that started in Infinity Wars.
Then I know.
We got Infinite Destinies.
And yeah, we got I remember.
One, we got Multitude, who was the soul one. And they just gave us tidbits.
Yeah.
Here and
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know, but it just seemed like it lacked kind of cohesion. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of what do you do? Like it's the problem. It's kind of the Dragon Ball Z principle. The Infinity Stones now are so powerful.
Yeah.
One person with that power, what are you going to do with it?
What are you going
to
do?
Like, and what are you going to do? They're too powerful.
And not to jump to the complete conclusion here, but I do believe that eventually we're going to see Thanos take the stones, whatever. I think that, remember Donny Cates in that early Thor run, we got the vision of Thanos with the Marvel zombies.
And the
Thor
Black
is the last hero standing. Yeah. I think that will probably be the next event after Blood Hunt. I think that will, like, give it a year. I could see that probably being the case. That's just my thoughts. I don't know.
I mean, it depends. I mean, I could see that because Marvel, especially with Blood Hunt and them saying, they're now doing kind of like the Bendis era of events where there's tidbits of everything that are leading up to the next kind of avalanche of events.
Which I love. You know? Which I love.
My favorite part of Civil War II was knowing that Captain America was a bad guy and yeah. nobody else knew.
When that they was delivered the one good him, thing.
When yep. they delivered him the corpse of the Hulk, I remember going, what are you doing? Don't give that to him. Don't give that to him. Yeah. He's not the
dude,
guy.
Nick Spencer. He killed it with those tie-ins through Civil War II with yeah. Captain America. It was so good. That series, probably one of my favorite Cap runs ever, which is for yeah. some reason an unpopular opinion, but I thought it was excellent. Excellent.
It's kind of the way of what adds so much more tension to, let's say, a thriller with a serial killer,
where yeah,
the audience
yeah.
knows that's the bad guy.
Yep.
No, don't talk to him. Don't hang out with him. What other solicitors? We're getting a new Goblin. Nah, that was okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, inevitably, like to me, Norman Osborn will always be the Green Goblin. And that's
for me, the biggest thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and then we can probably move on, is Venom vs. Reborn by
Jesus,
Al Ewing,
I know,
which is a 5-issue limited. What are your thoughts on that, man? What is going on?
I'm going to try and follow my own advice. And I'm going to wait to see what okay. this big plan is. Because Death okay. of the Venomverse okay. led us to Carnage. Carnage being nullified. And then we didn't see it. And now Ewing has lined up where Carnage is. And that, oh, this is the Carnage now who's in the Garden of Time. Okay, this okay. is that. So if this is a way of them trying to depower Carnage, that the Venomverse comes back together... But then I'm also going, why are you doing a What If series? If the, like, what's, you know, is this What If series going to tie into Venom vs. Reborn?
I hope not. I hope not. I'm not buying it. So if it does, let me know. But
you know, I gotta buy it. You know, I gotta buy it.
I would have bet that you weren't. To be honest, you're buying like
I love symbiotes. I fucking love them. Okay. No detriment. One, sorry, and another thing. Black Panther is missing from the June solicits.
So that's interesting to me. Actually, honestly, it's not, because that series I didn't love. And it's funny because Ultimate Black Panther number one was just labeled the best-selling Black Panther comic of all time. So I think it's and why are we surprised, right? Can I just go off for a second here? Why are we surprised by that? Because the Ultimate Black Panther comic is everything we've been asking for so long. Just basically make them like the movie before Chadwick Boseman died. That's what it is. Just that.
This is what it's the same thing with the other Ultimate Verse. Ultimate Universe is that it got rid of the continuity, because and we've said it time and again, as much as we love continuity, if you're a new reader trying to even read, let's say, for example, X-Men is the most convoluted fucking series there is.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And with this, and especially you look at a character like Black Panther created at the time he was, and kind of what writers did with him before, let's say, what's the word I'm looking for here? The more appropriate writers were given the character. There's been so much this was terrible. Oh my God, this was like, it says something that Venom got to issue 200 way before Black Panther did. Punisher got there. Moon Knight got there. Like it's because it's a tough, you know, he's a tough character for people to get behind, because there's been so many hit and misses with him.
Exactly.
And the Ultimate Universe, I think, is the time maybe for characters that have lost their way in Earth 616 to find their footing and find that big audience.
Yes. Yes, I agree. It's a fresh start, and they have Hickman basically backing the whole thing, quarterbacking it. So I agree with you wholeheartedly on everything you just said. And I think you and I are on the same wavelength for that. And for that matter, I mean, look at the numbers, right? People are buying it.
Yeah, but I said this again. Are they buying it for sheer excitement and love of the stories, or because they think it's going to be another investment? Like, we'll have to be aware of that side of what the comic culture is now.
Why did
Spider-Man 1? Why did Spider-Man 1 back in the 90 or 91 or X-Men? Because it's collector's item. Worth $1.50.
Yeah, literally. Or 25. I've seen those for various amounts. I agree. I saw that Marco Shaquetto posted his design for Bullseye for Ultimate Spider-Man. How badass was that, dude? Man, his Bullseye.
I never liked characters with the mouthpiece out. Never. As much as I think Hawkeye is cool, that why do you have your mouth exposed? As much as he Fair was enough. Reborn was terrible, and he was wearing like a shade of shit brown costume, it was cool because his mouth was covered.
Yeah. I feel. Speaking of characters with their mouth uncovered, I'd like to just segue into what is finally kind of announced. Is that there's a Nova movie in the works. Marvel did come out and finally confirm that. For some reason, I'm not jumping up and down about it. I like Nova.
Nova should be a series. Nova should be like an intergalactic cop series.
That would be cool.
It would be cool, but also think about it. Not every character has... The only way Nova could work as a movie is that if he was a liaison from the Nova Corps to the Guardians of the Galaxy. But the Guardians of the Galaxy is finished now. So what do you do with the Nova Corps? You do their visits to the planet, like different planets. You know, you maybe bring the Clintar in that way. But do it with a cop show. Don't give them a movie.
So that's, I really just want to touch on this. That's exactly what James Gunn is doing with the HBO Green Lantern show that's going to tie into the whole DCEU. James Gunn said this is going to be, and I tell me how this couldn't excite literally any human being on the planet. It's going to be a true detective type show, but for Green Lanterns. Come on.
It's kind of funny. Out of DC's failure to match Marvel's universe, cinematic universe, comes the ability to do shit like that, where it's like, this is going to be cool. Yes. But Marvel now is like, Marvel's like the McDonald's of superhero movies. People are going to go to see him, and it doesn't matter what you put out with them, because people are going to go to see him.
You're kind of right. And Bob Iger has said, like, you know, we're kind of shutting this down. Kevin Feige's trying to get, like, these movies, like, you know, out there. And Bob Iger's like, we don't want that. Like, play it safe. So expect a lot more Captain America, Avengers, Spider-Man, like, hits. Bob Iger wants hits. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Just well, I that mean, was what's, like,
bringing up.
You know, what else? Like, of course they want hits. You know, it's a case of, like, but it's there's been too much. They've been cutting corners. The CG is terrible.
Yep.
You know. Yep.
And great CG. CG and not cutting corners is something I want to shift to here with the. I don't know if you. I texted you the trailer for 1943 Rise of Hydra.
It looks like a movie.
Holy crap, it looks unbelievable. So there's a new video game coming out, everyone. And why is no one talking about this? Why is no... There's a new video game coming out.
What's happened with the last one they announced outside of, you know...
Insomniac, outside of Insomniac. Dude, so... And I was going to get there. But this video game trailer, which stars Captain America and King T'Chanda... Not T'Challa, King T'Chanda, because it's set in, what is it, 1943, obviously, in the title. This comes out in 2025. It's the same director who did Uncharted 1, 2, 3, which are, like, everyone is hyped about that. There's a few things I love. The graphics are insane. Love that. Love the voice acting. Good to see the Howling Commandos member, Gabriel Jones, with his, like, trumpet. I used to love those comics growing up. Love the suits. But the one thing, Rob, that I loved the most was the portrayal of Captain America. He felt like the Captain America we have now, he's too, like, lighthearted, and there's not enough, like, badass soldier in him. In this trailer, he felt like the Captain America that Brian Michael Bendis made, and Ed Brubaker as well, back in that time period of Marvel. Do you remember when, like, the prisoners were escaping from the raft and Captain America went? And he was just like, Spider-Man, shut the hell up. You go do this. You like this is like, and he was just serious. He was serious, and like you listened to him. Like he was a freaking like he was a leader, and he was a hard ass. That's what I saw in this video game trailer, and I was like, why can't we have that back? Where because did that Captain America go?
He went to Disney. He was in the MCU, but the problem was is that like we got that Captain America like in Winter Soldier. And it's just people like comedy, and then they all became smartasses. Like Doctor Strange, with you to an extent. These guys.
Yeah, I agree with you to an extent. I actually really liked the portrayal of him in the MCU. But dude, I'm just like for the comics, like it's anymore. It's not there. Captain America is just not the character he used to be anymore.
Well, like, who before JMS took him over? Who had him before then?
That was
Joel Kelly and the Jack. Not Joe Kelly, the Jackson guys. They did the Cold War run.
Oh, yeah. Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing.
It's almost like he's lost his way. I think that since that Tinashe Coates series, it hasn't been the same. They don't know what to do with Cap. Yeah. And I think Cap, they need to kind of go, maybe leave, don't give him his ongoing for a while. Let Cap be, you know, put him in the Avengers. Put him in. Give him the Thunderbolts. Give him
JMS. J. Michael Straczynski can't even write a compelling comic for him right now. Are you reading that? It's not that good.
No, I read the first six issues. It kind of like, but it's just, it's not, he's kind of doing his Spider-Man thing again, where Cap now was being tied to like a mystical demon.
That was the same thing again.
You know,
from the June solicits. Again. Yeah, the June solicits, that's finally over, thank Christ, because just, it's, where, what this, what character development's happening, I don't really know, I don't love it, but he's a legend, I won't talk badly about him, but like, I just hope this new arc takes it over. The video game, will I play it? Probably not. To go back to your point, the reason why probably no one's talking about it is because remember when the Avengers game coming out, remember the hype around that, and it was horrible, it was unplayable, it was so bad. Now it's just like, give it to Insomniac and let them just create the MCU for video games. We'll see how this goes, but I encourage everyone.
Sorry, since we've been having this Captain America, just the cogs has been turning. I want to see Al Ewing's take on Captain America.
Why?
Because Al, just like I know him, Al, I've yet to read a book of his where I don't like how he seems to get the characters. Now, I know I'm a bit iffy with Venom, but he's bringing Venom, he's taking bringing him into the stars. Now, I think this will end with we get a version of our Venom that we're all used to, because I have said he's kind of gone too big. Carnage has gone too big. You know, if Carnage is going to be a force, I think, because you know what I think should be done. Dan Slott's Reckoning War opened up, they said, like 9/10 of the universe, right? Send Carnage out there. Have Carnage like, I'm going to become a god. I'm going to the farthest reaches of space. Leave me have my territory. Yeah. Put Thanos doing something like that, because we've all these huge threats. You know, why are the Avengers not going after Carnage?
Dude, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was literally about to say, right now, Rob, Carnage is an Avengers-level threat. 100%. If Carnage was, if when Carnage comes on scene now, I fully expect Spider-Man to be like, okay, Avengers, like, let's, like, come on. Like, Spider-Man can't take on Carnage alone anymore, dude. He's way too powerful. Like, he's an Avengers-level threat. And even then, the Avengers would probably still struggle with him. I don't know. I could really go off on this. I think that they're a little off the rails. I do like what Al Ewing's doing. I agree with you. We'll see where that goes. Talking about things off the rail, I had to bring this up. It's a weird topic, but I had to bring this up. Did you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, which is like a slasher film that just came out?
It's one on my list that my wife has said, I'm not going to sit through that. You got to watch that on your own, which is fine.
Okay.
Which is fine. And so, the Pooniverse is...
So, dude, you saw this, right?
Of course. It's a trashy movie, Nick. Of course I saw that. I love my trashy movies.
So for those who haven't seen it, I'm so happy you did, because we can kind of talk about this for at least a few minutes. So for anyone listening, there was a slasher film that came out this year called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, because Winnie the Pooh became a public domain. For those of you listening that aren't really sure what that is, the term like public domain, it refers to creative material, or in this case, a character, that are no longer protected by intellectual property laws, like copyright, trademark, whatever patent laws, whatever. So the key here is that 95 years after publication, or 70 years after the death of an author, the public owns these works. So it's not tied to an individual artist, author, company. Anyone can use a public domain without obtaining permission. So, but of course, no one can absolutely own it. So the Twisted Childhood universe got Winnie the Pooh, made a slasher film like the day the rights were up. And now there's going to be like this whole shared universe, and they're creating it like an Avengers. So there's Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, Winnie the Pooh 2, Bambi, The Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, Pinocchio Unstrung, and then they're all coming together in Pooniverse Monsters If you look at the font of the Pooniverse Monsters Assemble, it's literally the Avengers Age of Ultron font, which I think is just really funny. I don't love gore, but I guess like they're going to be crossing paths like with Monsters Assemble, and like kind of like a takedown of the world type thing. We're going to see like Sleeping Beauty, the Mad Hatter, excuse me. Thoughts on this? I think it's out there.
I don't know. It's one of those things I'm probably gonna check out and laugh and see. But it's, you know, it's a parody. They're not doing this to create classics that are gonna stand the test of time. It's like, hey, do you know what'd be funny to do? And you know, they're getting to do it. So right on that they're able. But
yeah,
it's just think about that. So what you said, 80 years or 70 years. So when are Marvel's rights going to be gone to Spider-Man? Spider-Man is coming up on being how old? 70 years?
Probably.
You know, so
that's a really good point. Like Mickey Mouse just had his not too recently. Like
well, no, Steamboat Willie. Steamboat Willie, not Mickey Mouse. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I don't really like love the law that much, but I get it. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to see those movies. I'm not a gore person, but let me know how they are. I might see the one where they all come together just to like see what happens. But
see, it's a great, like it's a great marketing strategy because it's a case of like, let's say Tommy Wiseau was The Room. People watched it because of how bad it is. And the fact that they know these
Sharknado.
Movies are like B movies. But this thing of like making an Avengers worth of B movies, people are going to go see it, you know,
or speaking stream of B it, movies, or... something that I always thought would be like kind of cool, Rob, would be like, get a Marvel project, but don't spend like $1 trillion on it. Like Echo was by far the least expensive project that Marvel Studios has ever done. And like, it kind of worked. I kind of like the whole like, just like I really have
to
go back.
Well, what's the budget going on? You see, this is the thing. Like, is the budget going on? Are you blowing tens or hundreds of millions of dollars on subpar CG effects?
Right.
Or what are you doing? It's kind of the value for money.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Last but not least, one of the last thing I have to talk about today is Hawkgirl actress Isabella Merced spoiled the logo from Superman, the movie, which is coming out in 2025, with a pic of her name tag. It's proven to be Kingdom Come, which I'm very excited about. We talked about this in a previous episode, and I talked about it on TikTok. I love this. I just really wanted to throw it in there because... I'm kind of excited by that. I like Kingdom Come. I kind of like that logo. It's different.
See, my thing here is I'm kind of impartial on it because I don't know it, you know, and it's a case of it's, again, like we've said time and again, when you know a lot about something and you have a lot of investment in it, that's what can kind of spoil things. But if you don't know about it and you go in, like, let's say the last episode of Invincible, I was blown away by Invincible and the Boys because I know nothing about it.
Yes. You know? Perfect way to put it. So, everybody, this brings us to the conclusion of our episode. Rob, thank you so much for being on here, man. Any lasting thoughts for the fans listening?
Any lasting thoughts for the listeners? If gremlins multiply with a drop of water, how do they not multiply when the snow hits their feet and melts? So you can't do the temperature argument because it will inevitably melt. So that, my lovely listeners, is my thought for you for the week.
And that is something we will all think about through the week. Rob, thank you. And all our listeners, thank you. If you are a new listener, thank you so much for coming on for our show. And if you are an old-time listener, thank you again for once again being here. We will come at you next week with some more awesome news, highlights, trends, all that fun stuff to talk about. Be here for it. Don't miss it. Thank you, everyone, so much. Appreciate you listening.
Take it easy, guys.